What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 3rd. Happy Friday. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Don't forget, if you have PL Pro, you are going to get my exclusive podcast, the SP Fab Forecast, later today. That is me covering two-star pitchers, sit and start grid, auto start, probable start, questionable start, and do not start for every pitcher Monday through Sunday. And of course, my fab suggestions for your Sunday weekly leagues. That is 12 teamers and 15 teamers. For those in NFBC, those in those weekly leagues, this is my podcast outlining who are the guys to go for. How much should you be bidding on Christian Scott? Stuff like that. I will be talking about it later today. And that's only for PL Pro members. If you're trying to find it, just go to PL Pro's Pro Tools inside of the nav menu on our homepage. Or, of course, just check it out in the PL Pro Lounge at our Discord. All right, so we had Kyle Harrison go yesterday. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 5 walks, and 7 strikeouts, 13 whiffs, 31% CSW. What do we do with this guy? And I just want to say, look, 7 Ks, you see the 1 earned run, 5 innings, yes. There's also 8 base runners in 5 innings. It was also just 5 innings, no win. Yeah, he is a hipster. I don't see anything from Kyle Harrison that says, look, he has good enough secondaries that when his fastball isn't doing great things, that he's going to get out of this. Also, that four-seamer is really low flat delivery and with good extension, but not like really bad IVB. Velocity is fine and it's just not, it's not elite. Actually, I don't think he has elite extension. So it's just not enough for Kyle Harrison. And the guy with, I mean, he's, I think, better command with his four-seamer thus far. He has a sub 40% ICR, which is really cool. But he doesn't have an 11% swing strike rate on any of his pitches. Not his four-seamer, not his curve, not his cutter. Sorry, not his changeup. None of them do. So how much can we really lean on that four-seamer to get through everything? I'm not quite there. And I think he's just a hipster, headache-inducing pitcher, stifling the entire roster. I just don't want to go after Kyle Harrison because you want to find something that is either stable or is just a weekly streamer. Like, you don't want that middle ground at all on your fantasy teams, especially in 12 teamers. Like, you just, you should not be like that. If this does work, I have the thing. No, you should be like, cool, I like this starting this week, or I believe that this guy is going to break out and be like a top 40 guy. That is how you should be thinking about your starting pitchers week to week. Nathan Eovaldi against the Nationals. I should have mentioned inside the ESPN roundup. I forgot. I didn't. He left with a groin injury and some groin tightness. I hope he's okay. But as long as he is pitching against Oakland next, that's all good. Doesn't really change anything for fantasy, of course. Like, if he goes on the IL, he goes on the IL. You're not going to drop Eovaldi, etc. He did have a lower velocity, but I would attribute that now to that groin tightness. And I hope he's okay because that could be very painful. But he got the win, 5.1 innings. This was actually tied for the longest start of anyone. Actually, the other side of it was also Washington's Mitchell Parker, also went 5.1 innings. The only pitchers that went over 5 innings in this on Thursday, which is just, hey, that's baseball, I guess. 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks against Texas, though. And it's like, he didn't really do anything that was different. You know, he did show up with 3 sliders because, yeah, I guess he has to have something new because, like, the splitter showed up before. But, yeah, he gets the Orioles next. They're better against lefties. I would not feel like I need to hold on to Mitchell Parker right now. 2 whiffs on 19 swings on that four-seamer is really bad. Because the Rangers, I understand, against weak opponents, it should be all right. He wasn't very good against the Marlins. But I don't think that Mitchell Parker is that breakout guy. Spencer Arrighetti, honestly, I think is more interesting than Mitchell Parker. 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He gave us a Philly, that is a close but no cigar quality start, so 5.2 innings. I take that back about the whole 5.1 innings thing. It was so close, it was 5.2 with Arrighetti and then 5.2 for Logan Allen. What I should say is Arrighetti has a really flat four-seamer, and guess what? He has elite extension. So this is like Zach Wheeler. I talked about this on The Craft with Ian Osaris, saying Arrighetti, yeah, he doesn't throw 96 yet, but like Wheeler does, it's like 93, 94. However, he keeps that thing upstairs. And as long as his secondaries are down, changeup, cutter, really, curve, that kind of stuff, Art Getty's legit. And it's for the Astros. And the Astros is interesting because generally it's a good defense behind him. And the offense should be better than it has been. It's been not good so far, obviously. But I think that Art Getty is going to turn into that solid, like, Urquidy Urquidy and JP France. Like, slightly better than France and Urquidy. Like, think of peak Urquidy. That's kind of what Art Getty could be, I think. It's a little bit weird right now. We don't know how long he's going to be in this rotation. If Javier's coming back soon, does that push out Art Getty? France was already removed, but then it just feels like maybe it's just going to be Verlander and Javier and Framber and Blanco and Brown. But maybe Brown gets removed. We'll see. Keep an eye on Art Getty here. And by the way, I take back the whole like 5.1 innings thing. I forgot I was thinking about that before they finished their games, Allen and Art Getty. And so sorry about that with the Evaldi and stuff. But still, there are other games. Like all the other ones, 8 pitchers did not go more than 5 innings, okay? Logan Allen was not one of them. 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks in his 5.2 innings. He has a decently flat attack angle. It's like 1.1, 1.2. With 16 inches plus of IVB, which is good. That's like, okay, that will work upstairs, and that's what he does. And he does a good job of it. Now, I've seen the past with Logan Allen actually keeping sliders and changeups down, which is awesome. But he didn't really do it much here, and he gets a Tigers next, though. So, like, all right, Tigers next, you're doing the four-seamer thing upstairs, and you've been doing it a lot this year. I'm kind of in for that. So I would say that's a probable start at the bottom, probable start for Logan Allen there. Now, the other guys who just did not go super long and most 5 innings, really one other person to 5 innings was Adrian Hauser, 4 and runs, so whatever. And we don't want to go after Adrian Hauser whatsoever. We're going to talk about the other guys like Bradish and Ben Brown, Winkowski, Eric Cabrera, Peter Lambert, and Carlos Rodon. We're going to talk about all of those after this break. Kyle Bradish was still ill against the Yankees, and he had 4.2 innings, but 1 earned run, 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Like, it didn't hurt you if you happened to do this. 9 whiffs, 33% CSW. He has his four-seamer and slider wonderfully separated. That is, sinkers are upstairs. His fastball was like, okay, let me get in and out. And then the slider is down in glove side. Now, the slider does need to be a little bit more in the zone. The curve wasn't very present, but this was just 84 pitches. I imagine he'll go 90, hint at that soon enough. This is also his first start back. We expect it to be a little bit less efficient than usual. Good stuff from Bradish. You should feel nice about this moving forward. Like, having that slider look as good as it does, and also to not have the four-seamer just chaotically around the zone, is really, really good. Josh Winkowski went 4.1 innings in 53 pitches, and you should not care about Josh Winkowski. 4% sub 4% swing strike rate in 53 pitches. Oh my gosh, no. Ben Brown, I talked to Tyone about Ben Brown a bit, and one thing that is interesting is finding his third pitch, because you just can't do it with four-seamer and curve. And he made a really good point on the cool, you get a whiff on a four-seamer upstairs against like Pete Alonso or something like that. Are you going to throw another one there? No. So what do you do with your curve? Do you throw like one that's definitively in the zone? Do you have one that's out of the zone? Are you going to hit that bottom one? And that's a really tough thing to do when you are just fastball curve. So, and you don't have anything that is just truly like, I'm going to throw this over and over again. And who cares? So it's 4.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 5 walks, 5 Ks, because you have to be like delicate, and you can't just constantly throw all this stuff in the zone. This is why I smirked with Tyone about like, hey, cutters, right? So you're the cutter, not the splitter. He's trying to throw a sweeper. He threw a couple of them here, but I mean, it was 1-4-2, I think, getting a whiff, and that's it. I think that Ben Brown, especially him being more over the top, is cutter focus is, I think, the way to go. We'll see how that develops. It might just be as a reliever overall. It is interesting. The Cubs need Ben Brown as a starter now. I think Cade Horton is starting to prove himself to be ready. And I would expect Cade Horton by the end of the month. Maybe like 2 starts. If there's like 2 starts of Cade Horton looking good, maybe even just 1, you might see him show up and might kick out Ben Brown. We'll see. But Ben Brown isn't someone you should be going for. Edward Cabrera went 4 innings, unfortunately, against the Rockies. 4 earned runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 9 Ks. And I saw a lot of people like, oh, I'm so done with Edward Cabrera, I'm dropping him. No. So, look, this was a changeup. I watched it while I was doing this stream, actually, yesterday, because that game started at noon, really. In the second inning, he threw a changeup that was right down the pipe, okay? And it was a 3-run shot from Jacob Stallings. He just, whoom. That was a meatball at like 92, 93 or something. It was ridiculous. And even Albert Cabrera was like, they gave a smile like, geez, okay. That was it as far as damage. Like, that's one and run two hits otherwise, you know? I also think that that kind of prolonged the start, all that kind of thing. Four walks absolutely is the big thing here. Seeing the first start, seeing a lot of slider strikes was a huge thing. The command hasn't been quite as sharp as that first outing since. Still 16 whiffs, 38% CSW. And you see that, and I have to say, who else were we seeing like 16 whiffs, 38% CSW before they exploded for a start? And that was Jack Flaherty. Is Edward Cabrera Jack Flaherty? No, I think that Jack was throwing more four-seamers for strikes and just getting more effective strikes overall than Edward Cabrera is. That said, I do think that we're seeing a better version of Edward Cabrera than last year, which means that you won't see that 15% walk rate. You're going to see something closer to 9%, I think, this point moving forward. And that means that you're going to see a lot of really good starts from Edward Cabrera. His stuff is so filthy and hard to hit. He gets the Dodgers next. And Edward Cabrera, yeah, I'm not going to start him for that. I'm not going to rule it out. Because if Edward Cabrera is throwing enough strikes there, that works. Like, his stuff is filthy enough. Curveball, changeup, slider itself, and then the sparing 20-25% fastball, like, works. Then after that, it's the Tigers and the Mets, and oh, that is kind of cool. So I think I'm holding on to Cabrera in my leagues, and I'm not dropping him. I know that doesn't mean like a 10-day stash, but if you're looking on your wire for guys that could be top 40 the rest of the year, yeah, Edward Cabrera is actually one of those guys that could very well turn into that, right? Kyle Harrison, I just don't see that path forward. I do see it with Edward Cabrera. He could just be a cherry bomb and a hipster ultimately. So if you have something that's solid and you need it for this week, you can absolutely drop him. I think that this is something I'm going to, like, he could just do really well against the Dodgers. I'm like, oh, dang it. All right. Peter Lambert against the Marlins. Yeah, 3.1 innings, even though it was the Marlins. So there you go. And Carlos Rodon, he's showing more signs of life. 40% CSW on the four-seamer, 7 over 34 slider whiffs, all of those out of the zone down in glove side. But four innings of 6 earned runs against the Orioles, 3 home runs. The way I see this is, like, he didn't pitch that badly. It was the Orioles, who are really good against lefties, and they hit 3 home runs. He gets the Astros next. I'm going to do it. I think that he's in a really good place right now. He's turning more into that Holly. He's not going to be that 6 innings, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 10 Ks guy, but he's going to be good this year. I think he's more of a Holly than he is a Toby. All right, looking forward to tomorrow's games, because if you want any updates on today's, actually, there's nothing. So here's the rankings for tomorrow. I have Jared Jones at 1. Why? Because he gets the Rocky Road. He gets Rocky Road, guys. It's going to be amazing. Kevin Gausman against the Nationals should be good. Then again, he's being kind of weird, but that's another great one. Tyler Glasnow against Atlanta. So fine, he's at 3. Pablo Lopez has been weird, so he's at 4 against the Red Sox. Framber Valdez against the Mariners should be good. And Logan Gilbert's on the other side of that against Houston. Those are your auto starts. If you want to put Ranger Suarez in auto start, by all means, go and do that. It's just not, he's not an ace. He's just on a Vargas rule, and it's a Giant, so it's a little bit different. Clark Schmidt against the Tigers, I love that. Eric Fede gets the Cardinals, and he's struck out 20 in his last 2 starts, and the Cardinals are bad right now, so that sounds great. Zach Littell against the Mets, that seems pretty safe. Michael King is here, and I always say that and feel like it's a roast. He's against the Diamondbacks. Everyone's like, oh, do I drop Michael King? I'm like, no, hold on to Michael King. I can't express this enough. We are seeing like a couple starts that are bad and thinking like that's who he is. While if this happened in like July, we wouldn't care. I can't express enough. You want Michael King on your teams. His command is great. He has an elite sweeper. He has a fantastic sinker. Oftentimes that changeup is there. The only struggle he has right now is against left-handers. And even there, I think he already has a good enough changeup for it. It's just about figuring out the four-seamer a little bit better. But really, Michael King is really good, guys. Trevor Rogers against the Athletics is my stream pick of the day. I know it didn't work out against the Nationals. That's like 3 starts of him doing Blaisdell Blueprint. And it's against the Oakland Athletics. Like, I'm so doing that. There's also Christian Scott. Yes, pick him up. He is a must-add. I cannot express that one enough. The idea is for the Mets to go 6-man rotation right now, as they have 25 games in 26 days. And yes, just pick up Christian Scott. It's against the Rays, and I'm starting this. I usually don't do MLB debuts. This is one where I am doing it because it's the Rays. Christian Scott is one of the 3 true elite prospects right now. I think he's a tier. It's like you have Jobe and Skeens, and I guess Jared Jones really as a top tier. I originally had Jones as number 2, but now it's really, he's clearly 1. And then the second one is Christian Scott. and then everyone else is in tier three. Like, Christian Scott's like the last one remaining. I mean, Jacob Mizorowski could be there if he is showing that he has control. But those are the elite stuff guys. And yeah, Christian Scott's four-seamer is just dominating with a really good sweeper for strikes. So there you go. Ben Lively is here too. I know it's kind of surprising, but it's the Angels. And like, he's been able to locate upstairs with elite extension. It's kind of like Bailey Ober. But he has a good sweeper at times too. So just do that. It's the Angels. They don't have Mike Trout. Brandon Pfaadt, maybe it's a little too high against the Padres. I don't know. I just see him as like a Toby. It's like, yeah, just fine. Just throw him in there. He just got 11 strikeouts. So what the heck? Jameson Taillon against the Brewers. I think that's pretty safe. You have Casey Mize against the Yankees. I think he's a better pitcher than the results have been. Reed Detmers, I feel like if you have him, you're going to start him against the Guardians, but I don't love it because I think his command has been shaky, and that's the biggest concern I have with him. Paul Blackburn against the Marlins, he is a Toby and against a bad offense. I mean, he's really not even a Toby. He's like right underneath it, but Paul Blackburn is good against bad offenses. He's done poorly against good offenses. Now it's the Marlins. You do that. And then there's Tobias Myers. Tobias Myers is good. And I'm doing this against the Cubs because the Cubs are not a good offense. Tobias Myers has two starts thus far, and he showcased that he has an elite four-seamer that is upstairs with 18 inches plus of IVB. That's awesome. And really good extension. So I'm in on Tobias Myers, guys. And I think he's pretty cool. And he has like a kitchen sink of other stuff. A questionable start tier. We have Dane Dunning, Lance Lynn, Keaton Wynn, John Means, and Michael Wacha. Dane Dunning gets the Royals. It's fine. He has 10 strikeouts in his last game, so maybe that sticks. Lance Lynn, maybe that's a revenge start against the White Sox and the Cry Sox, so whatever, fine. Keaton Wynn against the Phillies. I don't love his splitter that much, but he's getting enough strikes with it, and his whole arsenal is like, eh, and it's Phillies in Philadelphia. I'm like, not that into this, but fine. John Means, it's a still ill in Cincinnati, so Sin City, you don't want to do that, but John Means' four-seamer does get elite IVB, and I love John Means right now because he is a guy who used to be good, but then he used to be good without wins, and now the Orioles get wins, and they have Baltimore. That helps his biggest problem, which is right-handers hitting home runs to left, and I love this. John Means, I feel like you should have on your teams right now, and I've tried to pick him up in one of the leagues for ages, and I just can't make it work for some stupid reason. I'm being really dumb, and I'm going to miss on John Means, and I hate everything, and it's... I'm really stupid. Don't be like me. Go get John Means. And then you have Michael Wacha against the Rangers, where he hasn't had his command lately. But maybe he does show up. Is the Rangers? Yes, but I think you should still go for that. Or not go for that, but like that could be something to go for if you're looking for a quality start over the weekend. I'm not ruling out Michael Wacha quite yet. It's just, do you have your command or not? And if you don't, it could be a lot worse than what it typically is. And then do not start tier is Jake Irvin against the Jays. He's not very good. Aaron Drew Abbott is kind of cool, but it's against the Orioles, who are also really good against lefties. And this is also in Sin City, so just know. Austin Gomber at Pittsburgh. It's not in Colorado, but no thank you, Cole Story Bro. Bryce Elder gets the Dodgers and... And Chase Anderson against the Twins, starting for the Red Sox, is just not a fun one for you to do whatsoever. I don't even know if he's going to go six innings or let alone five. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting. Make sure you check out the SB Fab forecast if you have PL Pro. If you don't have PL Pro, well, we have a promo code podcast, PODCAST, all caps. Go to pitchers.com/premium to sign up for PL Pro yearly today, and you'll get, I believe, 10% off with promo code podcast. So use that today. That is it. My name is Nick Pollock. Have a wonderful weekend. Do not expect the Plus Pitch podcast this weekend. I'm not doing them on weekends anymore. I realize I just don't have the time for it. I'm so sorry. I'll be back on Monday. That is all. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.